you know, my personal tragedy became such a public triumph, and I feel like the public was so much a part of it, but there's so much of the backstory that they don't know, you know, all the personal side to this story that I wanted to share, because I wanted to share what I'm hoping will be a story that'll make my husband proud of me, and to show how, yes, I've even crumbled and I have fallen, but yet I can pick myself up without hatred and keep moving forward every day.
When you talk about that backstory, what can you tell us from the book without obviously revealing it all so that people pick it up? But what happened that night for you?
Well, you know, we didn't actually know about the crash that evening. I was home with my kids, who were 16 and 19 at the time. My daughter, the 16-year-old, had broken her leg. So we were sitting there watching MTV. So nothing would have broken through. And my kids were being kids and, you know, messed up the house. And my husband was a neat freak of sorts. So my daughter hobbled in to see when Dad's plane was going to land. And it was 10:17. It said the plane just landed, and then the screen went blank. So I said, we have about 20 minutes before your dad gets home. Let's, you know, whip this place into shape. And then we all fell asleep. And at 1:30 in the morning, I got up, and I thought, well, that's odd. You know, we're all still down here. And I said, has anybody heard from Dad? And they said no. So we went up to bed, and I didn't find out till 4:30 in the morning. But I was continually calling his cell phone, his work BlackBerry, his work office number, and, you know, thinking, all right, turn on your phone. And then I started getting angry, like, why aren't you turning on your phone? And, you know, you know something's wrong, but you're hoping that it's just, you know, he lost track of time at work.
Did anyone call you at that point?
No. Well, what happened was wound up falling asleep for just a few minutes, and I dreamt that my husband had died, and that I was the pallbearer helping carrying his casket down the aisle of where we got married. So I woke up in that cold sweat, but I noticed that my cell phone was on, that it was lit blue, and I thought, oh, good, he finally contacted me. But it wasn't him. It was one of the track coaches who knew he was traveling and said, are you awake? Are you okay? And then I got that feeling in the pit of my stomach, sat up, grabbed my remote, and that's when I turned on the TV and it said Flight 3407 had crashed.
How did you tell your children?
First I went to get my son, and I said, you know, D, you have to come in my room. I think Dad's plane crashed. And he was out of bed in 2 seconds and saw the TV. And, you know, like I always say, I will never, ever forget him crying and just yelling, no, no, no. Which is what woke my daughter up. And she was the one who was tracking his flight, so she knew the flight number, and she just crumbled. And, you know, that was the moment that everything changed for us.
What other behind-the-scene moments in the book do you describe that we don't know about as citizens that we didn't hear about during that time period?
Most people would think it would be odd that you would get 3 phone calls from the medical examiner's office telling you, well, the first initial phone call that they identified Darren and he was ready to be released to the funeral home. But then 3 months later to get another phone call that they have more identified remains of Darren and did you want those released to the funeral home? And then again, the very last phone call was, you know, we have unidentified remains, but knowing what we got back and based on that and the autopsy report, we knew there was parts of Darren there, too. So there were 3 burials for one person. And I think most people wouldn't even realize we... And each time you do that, like the second time, Jennifer West and I were both notified at the same time. And, you know, New York State has a law that you have to have whatever remains to be cremated put in a container. That's going back to the funeral home, picking out another casket, going through all that paperwork all over again. You know, opening up every wound that you had the first time is now back again.
There have been lawsuits. I believe you settled yours with Colgan.
I have.
How do you feel about the others that are still waiting and now this bankruptcy issue?
You know, I am really worried about them. I have complete faith that Judge Scrutiny will make sure that everything is taken care of for those families. But I do worry. You know, the more you read, I think this was completely planned out by them. You know, especially with Colgan dissolving completely now and now the parent company Pinnacle filing bankruptcy, my line of thinking is, I don't want to see 7,800 families out of a job. That's a lot of hungry mouths out there. If you're going to restructure to be the best now in that airline business. You know, be the safest, have the best trained pilots, and have the best regional airline. To me, that would be the best I'm sorry they could say without saying it, would be to learn from that mistake and not have history repeat itself. But if they can't, I do want to see them gone, but I want to make sure that the other family members are adequately compensated for their loss, too.
Robin Tolsma, thank you so much for coming in. Your book, Everything Changed, is now available to the public.
Thank you very much.